Good morning, everyone. Special happy Mother's Day for all mothers. And we're thankful for our mothers. So like you have heard, like we're going to continue with our study on foundational truths. And this one is actually the foundation of foundations. Without the gospel, all the other things are meaningless. So this is the foundation of foundations, is the truth of the gospel. But before we read from God's word, we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on our meeting. Our God and Father, we come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. We know that the gospel is all about Him, all about His worth, His work, and His willingness to go to the cross so that He could bear our sins in His own body there on the tree. We thank You for Him, and we pray that this morning, as we need Your help, Lord, we cannot do this on our own. You know all our limitations, and we pray that the Spirit of God would help us to speak well of the Lord Jesus, and to hide behind the cross, to decrease, and that He might increase. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that do not know Him as personal Savior, that they never trusted Christ, they are not saved, Lord, this meeting is for them. And we pray that You would draw them to Your Son, that they would stop just being on the fence, and that they would make a decision, the decision that is theirs, to make the right choice about the Lord Jesus. They need to believe. They need to trust. They need to embrace Him as the only one that can save them from their sin and take them to heaven. So we pray Your blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we have a lot of reading to do, and I believe it shouldn't take much more than 5 or 10 minutes. But like the gospel, the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament, but the New Testament especially is full of the gospel, and there's like hundreds of verses that we could read to try to help you to understand what the gospel is all about. We know that gospel simply means good news. And in our lives, even though we live in a world of very few good news, if you watch the news, it's mostly bad news. But sometimes we do get good news. Like, we're going to have a baby. Good news. I'm going to have a raise. Good news. Interest rates are going down. Good news. Inflation is going down. Good news. But this good news that we're going to speak about this morning is a total different good news than what we can get on earth. Because this good news comes from the very heart of God, the creator of the universe. It's a message of good news that comes from God Himself to us humans. Because we need it. It is called the gospel of God, or the gospel of the grace of God. We see that in Romans 1, verse 1. That speaks of the source. The source is God Himself. It comes from God. It's called the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:18, the Savior is a good news. The good news of Jesus, like it's mentioned when Philip spoke to the eunuch in the book of Acts. It is a good news to the stakeholders. Who is that? Well, that's you and I. It is for those who are the appropriators, the beneficiaries. Well, that's kind of a French way to say that word. The believers. Anyone who will accept that message, who will obey the gospel by trusting in the Lord Jesus, We are the stakeholders. We are the appropriators of this good news. It is also called the gospel of peace. That's because of the serenity it brings, the peace with God, the peace within the heart. That's what the gospel will bring you if you ever believe the message of the gospel. It brings an inner peace, peace within. And it's also called the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's the sphere of the message of the gospel, which is the God's kingdom and God's heaven. That's why we have the good news, so that we might go to heaven. When this life on earth is over, it's over for the earth, but it's just the beginning of eternity. And that's the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So who better than the Lord Jesus himself to explain to us the gospel? And in the gospels, the Lord Jesus spoke to people in parables. Parables are earthly illustrations and stories to explain heavenly truths. And the Lord Jesus used many of those parables, and we're going to talk about a few of them and major on one of them later in our meeting. So to start, we're going to read from God's Word. And we're going to try to read emphatically, slowly, so that you can understand, because before I'm done reading, you could be saved right there in your seat if you're not saved. And like I said earlier, if you're not saved, this meeting is for you. Whether you're a child, or whether you're a teenager, whether you're a middle-aged person, whether you're an old person, if you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never believed in Him for salvation, the gospel is for you. The good news of the gospel is for you. And what we're going to read this morning, every single verse that we're going to read this morning is enough for you to understand that the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will ever get through to the Father except through Him. We're not going to read that verse, by the way. Firstly, we're going to start in Mark chapter 16. Gospel of Mark chapter 16. Short verse. Verse 15. The Lord Jesus says to His disciples, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if you're a creature of God, if you're a human being, the gospel is for you. And the Lord Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, what we're doing this morning. Now next, let's go to the gospel of John. The gospel of John. In chapter 3, most of you here, if not all of you, would know these verses. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The last verse, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now in the book of Acts, just the next book, the book of Acts in chapter 4. Verse 8, Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man," because they had just healed a man, a lame man, a paralytic, "by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and all to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders." The Lord Jesus was the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now is there salvation in any other? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Very simple language. You cannot look at it in two different or three different ways. There's only one way to look at it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other way. The Lord Jesus is the only way. Now in chapter 20 of the same book, chapter 20. Sorry, 17, chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 30. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends all men everywhere to repent." That means to make a 180, not a 360, a 180. You have to change direction. That's repentance. You have to change your mind about yourself. You have to change your mind about God. And you have to look at yourself the way God looks at you. That's repentance. "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.'" I hope you're not of the last people that's mentioned here. We're just going to wait. We're just going to push it another week or another month. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When you hear the gospel, now is the time to react and to make the right decision and to accept Christ as your Savior. Chapter 20, verse 20. And Paul says to the Ephesians elders, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from the house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks or Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus." In simplest terms, this is the gospel. Repentance towards God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's go to Romans, the next book. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. Paul speaks and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and then for the Greek." Chapter 3, the end of verse 22. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who hath faith in Jesus. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're just following the flow of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved or who are saved, it is the power of God. I hope you're not in the first part of that verse. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved or are saved, it is the power of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 3, Paul says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're almost done. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves. That's a very important part. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The gospel is not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and about his message to the world. And in chapter 5, the last verse of chapter 5, for he, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, we'll look at 1 Peter, and then the revelation will be done. 1 Peter, just a couple verses there. That's towards the end of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. Our brother Dan read this morning. Verse 24, who himself, the Lord Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Verse 18 of chapter 3, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And lastly, in Revelation chapter 1, so I guess it was a little bit more than 10 minutes, but all these verses speaks a lot louder than my words would ever speak. It is the Word of God. It says, verse 4, John, mid of verse 4, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, it says loved us, but in the original it's who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. So with what we've read this morning, you have plenty. Plenty to know clearly what you need. Your problem is your sin. You cannot enter heaven with your sin. You will never find favor with God in your sin. The Bible says that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So forget about it if you think that you can be good enough to get to heaven. None of us are good enough to get to heaven. None. There is no difference, we read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is our problem. And actually, I was going to look at one parable in particular, or one illustration in particular, that the Lord Jesus has given us. And it was in chapter 2 of Mark, very short passage, but very, very pointed. Chapter 2 of Mark, and we're going to read verse 10 firstly. Like the Lord Jesus healed the paralytic here, okay? So he tells the man, your sins are forgiven you. And the people are upset. The people say, well, only God can do that. How can this man say your sins are forgiven? Well, the point is the Lord Jesus was God, for one thing. The next thing is that he did have the power to forgive sin. We see that clearly. Verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So what is the Lord Jesus saying right here? We don't have to read between the lines too much. Sin is the sickness. Sin is the disease of disease. And the Lord Jesus did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners, because they that are sick need a physician. You know, today, there's a lot going on about pandemics. There was COVID that kind of turned the world upside down. And just lately, there's something going on with something that they got from rats or mice in a dump somewheres. And I don't remember what it's called, but there is a little bit of up in arms about that, oh, is it going to be the next pandemic? We have a bigger pandemic on our hands, my dear friend. And that pandemic is sin. And we're all infected. We're all sick with sin. We can't help it. We read in chapter 5, verse 8, or verse 12, I mean, chapter 5, verse 12 of Romans, that as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is the issue. Sin is our problem. We need our sins to be forgiven, because we cannot enter heaven with our sin. If it was possible to enter heaven with our sin, heaven would cease to be heaven. And I would not be interested to go there if it's going to be the same as here. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad when I go up there and there'll be no more sin. This body will be changed. I will put on immortality. I will put on incorruptibility. And I will be not with the Lord Jesus. Not just that, but I will be like the Lord Jesus. I will be without sin. Sin will be over once the Lord Jesus returned to earth to take his church to meet him in the air. So heaven cannot let even one sin enter. And remember the Garden of Eden. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to be thrown out of the garden? One. One sin was enough to throw Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. So our sin is the problem. Our sin is the sickness. And the Lord Jesus is the physician. The Lord Jesus is the doctor that we need. Why is that? Why did the Lord Jesus say in that story that the Son of Man has on earth the power to forgive sins? Because of two things. First of all, it has to be on earth. If you're waiting for the next life, you'll be too late. The power of Christ to forgive sins is a power that he got on earth. It has to be done while you are alive. It has to be done while you are here on earth. So that's one thing. It has to be while you're here. You have to make the decision for yourself, because God cannot make that decision for you. God gave us what you call free will. He will not twist your arms. He will not break your arms. He will not break your leg. He will not force you. It has to come from you. You have to say yes. Now, this afternoon, not quite, 15 minutes, you have to make up your mind. You have to stop being on the fence. You know, in the Bible, neglect is the same as reject. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 2, I didn't read it, but it says, How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a message that God expects a response. So you have to stop being on the fence and trying to push it to the next day, the next week, the next month, or the next year. It's not when you will feel the appropriate time. Because God says, now is the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When the gospel message is presented to a person, now is the time to accept it. We thank God that God is patient. And God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but he wants everyone to be saved. So the first part is that the Lord Jesus has power on earth to forgive sins. But why does he have power on earth to forgive sins? Because he went to the cross. What happened at the cross? We read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus, while he was on the cross, the whole wrath of God, all of it, was put upon his head as if he was guilty of it all. Your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world was put upon him. God says, I'm satisfied with what my son has done. It says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Why did it please God to bruise his son? It pleased God to bruise his son because God could see everything and everyone that would end up in heaven because of his son being bruised. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He saw his seed. He saw everyone that would believe. And God is pleased with the fact that heaven will be full of sinners saved by grace because of the work of Christ at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the bad news is that it is possible to perish. It is possible to miss heaven. And if you miss heaven, you will not miss the lake of fire. We don't like talking about that. We don't like mentioning the fact that people who are dying without Christ, people who dare to live a life without Christ and dare to die without Christ, will end up in the lake of fire, where the suffering will never end. Nobody will end up in the lake of fire and be able to say, God did not love me. The Lord Jesus, he didn't do enough for me. Nobody will be able to say that. Actually, the Bible says that all mouth will be stopped. And all the world will be guilty before God. Everyone that will stand before the throne of God without Christ will have their mouth stopped. They will have nothing to say. The Lord Jesus did enough. And if there would have been 10,000 worlds to save, it would have been enough because he was infinite in his person. He was God the Son, paying for the sins of the world. The Bible is clear. You know, the cross is the place where the infinite wrath of God met with the infinite love of God. Because God's wrath is infinite, but God's love is also infinite. And that is why a poor sinner like me and a poor sinner like many of you this morning can be in God's heaven for eternity because of God's infinite love. That was willing to smite and bruise and judge his own son. The cost that was paid there from God to give his son. It says that he didn't only love the world, he so loved the world that he gave his son. Would you be willing to give your son for a sinner? I wouldn't. I wouldn't be willing to give my son for a good person, if there's such a thing. But God gave his son for humanity. And like we read in Romans, it's not when we were good people. It's not when we were righteous people. It says God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you saved this morning? Do you have your sins forgiven? God the Father, the creator of the universe, sent his son down here on the greatest rescue mission ever. He wants to rescue you from your sin. He wants to save you from your sin. He wants to wash you from your sin. You need him. You don't need anything else. You don't need religion. You don't need even to know the Bible by heart. You don't need good works, good living. You don't need to give your body to be burnt. No, no. You need to repent from your sin and to trust the Lord Jesus as being enough. What he's done is more than enough to save you, to cleanse you, to give you eternal life. And that is the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus. And this morning, you need to make a decision. And the ball is in your court. God has done everything that he could. Everything that was needed. Everything that was very costly has been already paid. The Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," which means paid in full. Now you need to make the move. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. And if you do, I can tell you, not just by experience, I can tell you by the authority of the Word of God, you will never, never regret it. We're soon going to witness a young man's baptism. And Nathan will show by getting baptized that he trusted Christ as his Savior. And now he wants to live for him. He wants to follow him. Why don't you do the same today? Trust Christ while there's still time. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Lord, in him, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In him, we are seated at the right hand of God. As far as God is concerned, it's just as if we were already there. It is so sure. It is so full. It is so free. We thank you for the security there is in Christ, that he could tell his disciples about his sheep, that he gives unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We thank you for the security of salvation. Eternal security. And now we pray that if there's anyone here this morning, and Lord, we know there is. There is many that are here, not saved. Lord, don't let them go on in life without the Lord Jesus. We pray that they might trust him this morning, right now, that they might make the decision to put their trust in your Son. God is satisfied. They could just say, I am satisfied with what he has done for me. I love him because he first loved me. So save souls, we pray. And remember Nathan. We pray your blessing upon him. As he enters the water of baptism, we pray that it might be a new chapter in his life that will be a super huge blessing for him for the rest of his life. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.